When you haven't found love, it can feel like everyone else has. It's in every movie, every song, and all the PDA. Looking for love sucks. Thankfully, California Psychics can give you the guidance you need to find the one. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
Now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, if you have not heard yet, heavy metal godfather and cultural icon Ozzy Osbourne died earlier today at the age of 76. Now, his death comes less than a month after reunited with Black Sabbath for his farewell performance and 6 years after he was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. Now, it is very, very difficult to overstate his outsized influence on music, pop culture, fashion, etc. I mean, just the sheer volume of his impact on the rock world alone, it will not be duplicated, period. So, while the man is gone, the ripple effects of his ascendancy, they're going to be felt for as long as rock music exists. Basically, if you play rock music, some part of you was indebted to Ozzy Osbourne for it. Now, that said, with very few exceptions, whatever it is that you do or enjoy doing, somebody somewhere got you into it. Whether it's a boss, a coach, an actor, a singer, whatever. I mean, hell, for me, I was 8 years old. I heard Dr. Demento on my ugly-ass plastic white AM radio. And in that moment, I knew how I would make my living. It was just that simple. I heard him. I said, that is what I want to do. And make no mistake, there have been a lot of people on the radio that are better than him. But nobody inspired me more or influenced me more than one of the strangest people probably on the face of this earth. And now here I am. But that's how I make my living. No questions about it. But that's just me. But all of us have somebody that we credit for getting a sentence on. Now look, maybe you're working on that Camaro that you're never going to finish and it's sitting in your front yard because that's what you did with your dad. Or maybe you started doing it because, I don't know, you liked Dale Earnhardt back in the day. Who the hell knows? But something inspired you to do something that you continue to do to this day, just like Ozzy Osbourne did, for about 98% of the people that play guitar and play rock music. So that's what today's question is. In honor of Ozzy, we want to know, work, hobby, or personal, who inspired you to do what you do?
To be a part of the Big Show, call 206-803-ROCK. Like KISW on Facebook, follow us on X and Instagram at Men's Room Live. And send your emails to themensroom at KISW.com. Yeah. All the shows, away we go. Welcome to the 20th anniversary season, episode number 4,358. What a large and a charge program we have for each day. Guaranteed future repeats. Sitting spent today, 10 greatest Ozzy Osbourne tunes of all times. According to the fine folks at 99.9 KISW, yeah. Rock in Seattle.
All right. I trust those people.
When we celebrated 50 years of The Rock, we used to do a 25 from 50 thing that we would do on the weekends, where we would either take a look at the playlist from 1977 at KISW or celebrate some of our bigger artists. We did a weekend tribute to Ozzy. And according to, basically our own Taryn Daly, we have the top 10 Ozzy Osbourne songs of all times. And she put together a pretty good list.
All right.
There was a couple songs on there. I thought maybe we should switch a few out. But I'm like, you know what? Taryn is a music authority
when
here.
When you get to the 90s, I think that's where I might disagree with some of your picks. But overwhelmingly, I mean, you can't go wrong. We've been playing it all day today.
I know.
And it's amazing. When you've been doing music that long, you know, and we maybe play 7 to 10 of those things on any regular rotation, but just hearing them today, and I own all of it, but I realize I have not listened to Ozzy's albums in a while, so you're hearing these songs that you know you like them, and I'm like, why don't I listen to this more?
The catalog is incredible. I'm just in there listening to Ryan's show today, and I'm like, wow, man, this is that's quite the body of work.
VD had it cranked up, and I opened up his door, and he's like, you gotta crank it up, man.
And you forget what an unusual, unique, and awesome voice that Ozzy had.
Yeah.
Because when you think about metal and you think about rock, you know, you got some guys up there where you consider them as far as their singing ability or whatever it is.
Robert Plant, Ronnie James Dio.
Exactly. But you listen to Ozzy, it's just,
you know, it's him.
It's Ozzy. You know, and when he starts singing, you're like, wow, that's pretty cool. And obviously, Ryan Castle was lucky enough to go to England and catch that farewell show. Watching some footage of that today and just the performances of a lot of the bands that went up there and covered his tunes. And then his performance at the end of the day. And, you know, just to
Was he the final act that went up?
He was, yeah.
Okay.
And he finished with Sabbath and his, some solo stuff. I think he did 4 solo songs. Did what he could do. I think that Sabbath initially wanted to play a few more with him, but ultimately he could only do so much, and he wanted to do both catalogs.
Yeah, of course.
So he wanted to do some of his own stuff. He wanted to do some of the stuff with Sabbath back in the day. But, I mean, look, when this was first announced, you know, Castle basically had to talk his wife into doing this because it's spur of the moment.
Yep.
It's not a cheap flight.
It is not cheap.
It's not
a quick turnaround.
Right. And there's no planning involved. Like, can I get a flight? Can I get a ticket? Can I get in there? And all those things. And he won that battle. So he got to go. But now, in retrospect, you know, you think to yourself, that was the best thing. That if he did not go.
Yeah.
I told him earlier. I said, thank God you actually took up the opportunity and went.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know his wife's going to take credit. Do you remember how nice I was? I let you
that's
go
right.
to that show.
That's right.
This is on me.
Yeah.
Take me out to dinner.
And then I think it's awesome now, you know, a day like today, it's awesome they got that, he got that concert in.
Absolutely.
He did.
Yeah.
And, you know, seemingly from everyone that, and look, the Daily Mix show, tomorrow morning at 7:20, they've got an interview with a drummer from Faith No More.
Mike Borden.
Yeah. And Mike was, he was a drummer for Ozzy, I guess.
Yeah, for 10 years. Yeah.
During his solo career.
Apparently, that was his goal. So, Mike Borden, he played with Faith No More. Faith No More hit it big for 2 seconds, right? Miggs and I are deep fans of them. But life goes on. He played with a few other artists. But he said, look, just one of my dreams as a drummer was playing Ozzy's band. Because he switches the musicians out every so often. It'd be cool to get that opportunity. And look, there's 8 million drummers to probably say the same thing. He's one of the few dudes that actually got the opportunity to play for a decade with Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah.
That's
and
huge.
We have been... by the way, that interview tomorrow is 7:20. One thing you need to know about that interview was that Steve reached out to him and said, hey, would you like to talk about the Ozzy tribute show and all that stuff and the celebration of life that it was while he's still alive. Now, they're going to replay that tomorrow. But right when they hung up the phone with him is when the news broke that Ozzy had passed on. So it was a present tense. Ozzy's still here. This is what happened.
Correct.
But in real time, Ozzy had passed on.
Like, by the time they said, thanks for calling, I think that's when the news came out that Ozzy died. And then Miggs, he kind of showed the text correspondence that he had with the drummer, Mike Borden. And it's one of those things, they'd finished the interview. So he's like, hey, thanks for coming on. Great talking to you. Mike Borden responds, hey, anytime is great talking to you, too. 30 minutes later, he gets another text from Mike Borden. It just says, oh, my God.
Yeah.
So that clearly, that was the moment he found out. That's such a weird thing, though.
And strangely enough. As you listen to FM radio, whatever you listen to, if you listen to country music, if you listen to hip-hop, whatever you listen to, if you listen to rock, alternative, just know that when FM radio started out, okay, the idea of FM radio was most people did not listen to that. Most people did not have FM right away in their cars.
No.
It was a new format as far as how to listen to radio, and it was in stereo, and it was kind of like the evolution of like from a VHS to a DVD.
Or exactly.
Clear, you know, all the things, right? And when FM radio started, the artists that were being played are what we consider to be the iconic rock artists that we listen to today. So you never heard Jimi Hendrix on an AM radio station. Mm-hmm. You never heard of the band Black Sabbath. You hadn't heard of Led Zeppelin.
Isn't that the funny thing about FM radio, though, right?
But that was what FM radio was playing.
It was the Castaway stuff. Because AM dominated, right? So they're like... Okay, you can do this new FM technology if you want, but it would be the equivalent of giving you, like, straight-to-DVD movie releases. That's what the radio world thought it was doing, and instead, you handed FM radio a revolution.
You did.
Right?
I mean, you were hearing Paranoid. You were hearing all these songs that had never been played on the radio before. And that's how FM radio started out.
Mm-hmm.
It started out with, before KISW played rock music 55 years ago, or whatever the date is on it now, this was a classical station, and I'm not saying in the sense of, like, classical music. I'm talking about classic artists like Bing Crosby or, you know, Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
Or it was that type of radio station. And the guy's like, F this, we're gonna rock.
Because this rock thing is starting to take off. And the young people absolutely love it. The artists behind it whether you like them or not, they're having a definitive influence on a generation of people. So let's jump in on this.
And Sabbath was that band. So, you know, even at the beginning of just the entire, not even a format of it, but FM radio.
Right.
Was kind of launched based on this music. And it's been,
it was launched as a result of drugs. Let's just cut to the quick here.
Yeah, but you still heard
Sabbath basically is the blueprint of metal.
People say, look, there's Sabbath and there's Zeppelin as far as the DNA, and you can tell the different bands that are more heavily influenced by the other.
Right.
You know, but it always seems to come down to they were the parents, and then are you on your mom's side, Led Zeppelin, or your dad's tree?
Yeah, but you also have, when you think of like a Led Zeppelin, you think of bands that kind of played within that pocket of music at the time. So the Stones, to some degree, bands like Thin Lizzy kind of had more of that feel.
Absolutely.
Where when you're talking about the Black Sabbaths of the world, then you get into what Deep Purple was doing, what Uriah Heep was
doing.
Judas Priest was doing.
But what's funny is Judas Priest started off more like a Led Zeppelin band. They used to wear like bell bottoms and flowery shirts, right? So just picture that on the Judas Priest we know. At some point in their career, they agreed as a band, said, man, we need to do something to kind of change our image because the music we're playing apparently does not match how we appear. And they said, this kind of rang true with the audience, you know, because they're dressed like Robert Plant was always dressed, but they played stuff that Judas Priest plays. People couldn't wrap their head around it. So Rob Halford took his buddies out to a shop that he frequented, and basically it was like the gay leather S&M biker shop. And they were like, this is cool stuff, right? I got a studded black leather vest. Where else are you going to find out? Seriously, man. So he took them to this gay biker shop. They bought all the crap, hit the stage, and then that became the definitive look of metal.
Yeah. Yep.
It is.
Think
wild.
About that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at that point in time, you know, you had Sex Pistols, Generation X were dressing like that. If you hear any music on this radio station, it's not that all the bands were influenced by Black Sabbath, but the majority of them were. And when you look and you read
somebody in the band was. So when they wrote songs, somebody let that influence come through.
And you talk to these guys, you know, there's two glaring bands that stick out as far as, hey, and it depends on age, but ultimately you got to Sabbath one way or the other. That's Kiss and that's Black Sabbath. And those two bands, right. I think, you know, influenced more people to want to do that and play an instrument and be in a band.
Well, they made
whether you're
fun.
Famous or not, just to hang out with your friends, have a good time, make music, even if you're just playing what they're playing, you know, just trying to see if you can emulate or cover their songs. Or whatever it is, but you're never going to emulate Ozzy and his vocals.
I know.
There's a reason.
Or his lifestyle.
There's no Ozzy Osbourne tribute band. There probably is. I've just never seen them come around, okay? In my lifetime. Yeah, you got a Sabbath band, but I've never seen. You got Mack Sabbath.
Sure.
The guys who dress up like Ronald McDonald characters and play Black Sabbath tunes.
It's actually very funny and better than you think.
Yeah, they're actually pretty good.
Yeah.
But just as far as, you know, metal goes, whether it's a band like Gwar. Or, you know, right. I mean, you name it. Or White Lion. It doesn't matter. I mean, with that whole spectrum influenced by Ozzy Osbourne and by Sabbath.
And the thing I like about him specifically, like I said, you can like him or not like him, but he's a true individual. And I think we can all agree, just in the last 20 years, it's mostly manufactured stuff. And you just kind of repeat the same, even with the songwriters now. They're like, look, this is how many beats a minute per song, mm-hmm. right? But with that, you get personalities that reflect that. They're just a different version of someone who you already know. The thing I appreciated about Ozzy is just like, there's nobody like this guy, right? I mean,
no.
There's just not. And there's no pretense. He's not. It's funny. VD made a good point. He goes, part of the reason Ozzy got so big is because the people thought they hated him, you know, the scared parents. They created this whole aura around him. He's like, I did not know I was the Prince of Darkness. I did not know that I was worshiping Satan. I did not know that I had all this authority. And then I'd read newspaper clips and like entire towns freaked out because of parents. And Ozzy was smart enough to say, I don't work that to my advantage. They're selling tickets for me, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And he just lived his life and he ended up becoming who he was because there's zero BS. And not an insult to most artists these days, but not a lot of that exists. You know, I got my brand, I got my image, we got the social media thing, and I get it. But, like, you ain't going to get this again. This is a guy.
No.
Have social media. I don't know that he ever tweeted anything in his life. I'm sure somebody did it on his behalf. But none of that was of interest. Dude just wanted to write songs to perform.
Right.
That was legit. And do drugs. And be left alone.
And when you're that original, you can do it.
Right.
Because I worry some of those people now. It's like you can't even show half their personality because it's like a formula, like you're saying.
It's a formula. And then also, you know, one of the things me and VD talked about, with all the controversies that surrounded Ozzy Osbourne throughout his entire career, none of them were based on him like, bashing people of different races or
bashing you
because you're getting, like, you got it because he bit the head off of a bat, right? And to me, that's such a different thing to be outraged about. Like, yeah, you could be mad about it. Not that he did it intentionally, quite on purpose, but in the end, doesn't matter.
Every single person that ever met, talked to Ozzy in their lifetime, they were forever changed by that experience. Just based on the fact that they got a chance to meet him, talk to him, just tell him how much of an influence he was. And, you know, anytime Ozzy is brought up, it's never anything other than what an awesome experience it was to be in his presence, to talk to him. Funny guy.
Yeah.
Witty as hell, you know, like, has stories to tell.
Yes, he does.
And we were fortunate enough to have him here at on our show twice.
Can we even find those?
No, we can't.
They've been lost to.
Yeah,
whatever.
I tried, man. I was scouring the internet, seeing like, but it was all before like 2010. Of course, we've had Zach Wilde in here talking about Ozzy. We've had a number of different, you know, connections around him, but we did get a chance to talk to him twice. And you know, when you go back and people ask you, what are some of the cooler things that have happened to you in your radio career. And that's always one of them.
At
the time that Ice Cube came in for Ted.
Yeah.
Like, there's a handful of things.
Ozzy Osbourne's the only autograph I have ever asked for in the studio.
And understand, like, it's a professional cool you're supposed to have. It's like, dude, but it's Ozzy. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. You know what I mean? got it for a guy my mom worked with for years. He framed it, hung it up.
Yep.
It was like his most prized possession.
Yeah.
And Ozzy couldn't have been nicer than, sure, I'll sign it. I don't know.
He loved his fans. So that is the truth.
And today, on The Question, just as far as what has inspired you in your lifetime, whether that was something personal as far as a parent or a grandparent or a friend, if you have a hobby that you are into, who was that person that inspired you to want to pick that up and do that? Or, you know, maybe it's just your job and, you know, you said, hey, man, I want to do what he does.
Exactly.
Because that's something I'd like to do. So our question, work, hobby, or personal, who inspired you to do what you want to do? 206-803-ROCK.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK from the Pinky's Plumbing Studio. You're in the men's room.
Okay, we weren't able to dig up any of the interviews based on the fact that from the time that we interviewed Ozzy, the station has moved locations.
All the
technology
stuff
has changed, all those different things. But I did find this. So at least we know what we were talking about. Ozzy Osbourne was, this is from blabbermouth.net. Ozzy Osbourne interviewed with the men's room on KISW in Seattle.
Wait, Blabbermouth has this?
They have the article about the interview, but they don't have the link to the interview.
It'd be cool if we had the link to the interview, but Blabbermouth, thank you.
Well, they don't have the link.
I know.
The link doesn't work on theirs because it's too far past, because it was October 17, 2007.
Damn!
So this was the first time we got a chance to have Ozzy in studio. So let's listen to the 23-minute chat at this location. So he honestly, and here was a weird thing that I remember, okay, very vividly about this. Now, typically, depending on the artist, all right, you're going to say, look, you're going to go on at 4:30. And when you get here, you know, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Coming up next, whoever.
Right.
Ozzy Osbourne. This was not the case.
Oh, yeah.
We're on the air just doing the show. We know he's going to show up at some point in time.
And again, you have a scheduled time.
Right. But Ozzy's like 10 minutes early, whatever the deal is. He just walks in and sits down.
Yeah. Throw on headphones. I mean,
we don't get a chance to introduce ourselves, tell him our names, nothing. He just comes in and sits down.
It was a little weird.
And it was,
imagine watching a late night TV show, right? You know, Jimmy Fallon, tonight we have the Ted Smith on. Yeah. And as he's doing the monologue, Ted just rolls out and takes a seat on the sofa.
Sits there ready to rock.
Yep. And Ted's going to start talking.
So we're like, holy. Right. But you're looking at him like, that's Ozzy Osbourne. And he's just sitting down. He's getting his stuff. We're trying to get him a water or whatever.
Or
still
tea,
trying,
I believe it
I
was.
I don't know what the hell was going on, but it was just so weird. Anyway, it says, as previously reported, and this is back from 2007.
And by the way, Ozzy does not have regard for FCC regulations.
No F's to give.
No,
oh, yeah.
Ben had his finger on the button the entire
time. That was me.
That was you.
It was
frightening. That's right. It was you.
Because he's just talking, but he keeps cursing. And then talking about the medications and certain body parts.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, that was.
I mean, seriously, at one point, I was like, we're going to run out.
We're going to run out of dump.
We're going to run out of
right?
dump.
Right? Mike, you can see it like, it's Ozzy Osbourne. It's like, I'm not going to stop the interview, but I don't know what to do if he keeps cussing.
Sure.
So I guess at this point in time, Ozzy had announced that he was donating all of his profits from the a show in L.A. to the Sharon Osbourne colon cancer program, as she had been battling colon cancer at that point in time. So that was at the Staples Center. They work with Cedars-Sinai. So he was on to talk about that. And he was also getting ready to kick off his 40-date tour, which kicked off October the 18th here in Seattle. So the next day, he was starting that 40-day tour.
Yeah, yeah.
So we got to talk to him even before he hit the road. And then he headlined his annual Ozfest as well. And at that point in time, it said he was touring in support of Black Rain, which was released earlier that year. And that was his first new album since 2001.
Yeah.
So that was the first time that we got a chance to talk to Ozzy. And if you haven't heard the news, he passed on this morning at the age of 76.
You know, we've had the privilege of being able to interview the guy, but two things I remember specifically long before I ever had the chance to meet him, long before I'm an adult. The first band I heard was Kiss, right? So I had, at this time, my parents bought me a record player. I had a total of four Kiss records, and I'd wear those things out. Well, Christmas is coming up. And, you know, your parents ask what you want. And I wrote down a list of albums. And my parents were blown away that there was no Kiss on there. But the album they bought me, so my first rock record that was not a Kiss record, was Blizzard of Oz from Ozzy Osbourne. And also, I should throw out Screaming for Vengeance from Judas Priest. But I remember getting that record, putting it on. And it's still rock music, but obviously way different than Kiss. And just having your mind blown. Like, you at that point, I knew, like, okay, I like rock. Fast forward a couple of years, my buddy Tony, guitar player, we are much younger than, he's maybe 13 or 14 years old. Randy Rhoads had died, Jakey Lee is now the guitar player for Black Sabbath, all right? And Tony, like I said, he's one of the best guitar players I have ever known in my life. It's like a privilege to know him with regard to playing guitar. But we went down to our buddy Paul's house, Tony gets there, immediately opens up his guitar case, plugs it in, and says, I figured it out. We're like, what are you talking about? We did not realize that he'd been staying up late nights, breaking out in a sweat, trying to learn the guitar solo to Bark at the Moon from the album Bark at the Moon, right? And to me, at the time, that was one of the coolest solos I heard. I remember Tony plugged in, he adjusted his effects, and blistered through this thing. And when he was done, you would think we won the Super Bowl. It's like the three of us just jumped like, yeah, I mean, high fives, chest bumping and all that. Like, that was his mountain that he needed to climb. And I swear to God, from that moment on, his confidence about playing guitar just went through the roof. Like, that's what he had to do to prove to himself that he was worthy of playing guitar. But he finally did it. He played it. It was note for note, man. And it was just, it was the greatest thing. Like, oh my God, I can't believe he did that.
Like, well, that's mind-blowing, too. It's like, the record's not that old.
No, it's fairly fresh, man. Right. Yeah, and he blew that thing out. We're like, good on you, dude. Good on you.
Our question, work, hobby, or personal, who inspired you to do what you do? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Deegan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Really quick, just want to say a couple things. It was awesome meeting you guys in Bremerton. Great event.
Thanks for having us.
Great atmosphere. Yeah,
it was a good time.
That's a fun event.
Really good time.
It was. And my condolences go out to the Osbourne family. Absolutely, for sure.
For sure.
Sad day. But anyways, just wanted to say biggest inspiration in my life personally is my dad.
For real?
Absolutely.
I don't say that as a joke. I'm saying as a father, I'm not
just like, it came out of a little
I realize how it came out of my mouth.
Your dad.
I bet your dad.
You're got to be kidding.
I never met the man. I'm not saying it came out all wrong.
No.
I'm just saying, as a dad, that is cool to hear that that is possible.
Not for you.
I know that came out so bad.
No way.
For real.
You're
dead.
You're good.
Yeah. Harsh.
But knowing all the stuff that he had to go through to support me and the family and everything, it made me want to become the best person I could be and support and care for my family, my fiance. And
so do you take a lot of what you learned from him, just the way he chose to go about it? Do you find that you try to apply that at least in your relationship?
I do, absolutely. And I am following in his footsteps as well, being an electrician.
Awesome. So, all right.
Yeah.
What are your best memories growing up as far as your time with him? Is it like fishing, camping, hunting? Did you guys have anything that you bonded on that you still carry on to this day?
Fishing, camping was a big one. I remember every other Friday when he would pick me up to go to his house for the weekend, we'd always listen to you guys. So you guys have also been a huge part of me growing up.
That's kind of terrifying, so, but very appreciated.
Yeah, we had a couple of those at Bremerton. I was like, oh, no, little kid, don't do that.
Well, a couple of little kids, my favorite of Bremerton, so there's a kid there, he's 19, so he's a grown-ass man, all right? And so he's there with his mom, and his mom says, he's so excited to be here, he's been listening to you for 10 years, since he was 9 years old, but this is the first event he could come to. So I'm like, hey, man, I'm glad you made it out. Nice to meet you. He goes, oh, yeah, man, I've listened to guys every day for 10 years. And it was just kind of mind-blowing because the first time my mom put the show on in the car, he goes, you specifically were talking about putting your penis in a popcorn bucket at the movie theater. And he goes, right, honestly, this is the conversation we're having, right? So you feel kind of weird, like, that's what introduced you to the show. But he's like, but the point is, you remember that kind of thing. And as a kid at that age, like, this was an entirely new experience. So I wanted to hear more. I'm like, cool. And then he said that he did say to his mom, should I be listening to this? And I said, look, you're 19 now. Don't ever ask that question. I said, when boobs pop up in a rated R movie, my son's sitting there, he doesn't say anything. You know why? Because he wants to look at the boobs. And there's a chance that I might say, yeah, you shouldn't look at this, right? So I was like, just keep your mouth shut and enjoy the show. But I'm glad we could be a part of that, man.
Yeah. My buddy took his son. Of course. It was like Bumbershoot or one of those shows.
Yeah.
So he wanted to see an EDM band or a duo. So they went to see him. And he goes, he's still too young. He just said, all those girls must be cold. And I said, no, he's not young enough. But he can't be like, hey, dad, look at these chicks.
Yeah.
So that's him slightly acknowledging, like,
they exist.
They're barely wearing anything.
Yeah. That's what my son said outside of the Lowe's on Aurora. Right. And I mean, they're out there doing their thing. And it was kind of cold that morning.
What do they come? They're contractors, I guess.
Yeah, they are.
They'll come in like drywall.
They are contractors.
Uh-huh. Definitely day workers.
Yeah, they're day workers or contractors. And you pick them up in roughly the same location.
You take them back to your place and then they do handiwork.
They do handiwork and then you drop them back off.
Gotcha.
Right. For an
exchange.
Then
you get a taco truck
of cash.
And go home. Yeah.
So my son said the same thing. We pull in. He's like, dad, those women have to be cold. I said, you know what? They're working, buddy. Don't you even worry about it. They'll warm up soon enough. But me and my wife just looked at each other. I'm like, but you're right. What he wanted to say is she had huge, delicious boobs, and I could see most of them.
As far as all the kids we got a chance to meet and all the balloons that Mike blew up at the event, do you still have those balloons, Mike?
I think they're somewhere.
You think they're somewhere?
Yeah.
Because with the men's room 20th anniversary party that was announced the other day at Black Raven Brewery, Saturday, September the 6th, that is, in fact, an all-ages show as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were not able to make it to Bremerton, obviously traffic was a mess and everything else this weekend. If you're in Seattle and you do have somebody who's, you know, a kid that listens to the show and has always wanted to come to one of our events.
Bring them, man.
Yeah, bring them.
They were awesome. The kids, they definitely introduced a fun element.
Yeah, you have to be 21, obviously, to consume alcohol.
Well, sure.
We will have beer there. We're also having bands all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have great food. And there's going to be stuff to do. So, you know, if you got a teenage son or daughter and they listen to the show with you and you want to bring them, man, bring them.
Tell your mom, but sure, bring them. we know how it works, man.
It's going to be a good time.
You know, it's funny. The guy says that about his dad, which is cool. So my daughter did her eighth grade graduation, June, whatever it was. And so they call each kid to the stage, and then basically the teacher's reciting whatever's in their yearbook. You know, this is what they accomplished. This is the year they started. And then whatever quote that they wanted to leave in the memories of all their fellow schoolmates. And most, it's funny, either it's like some Shakespearean quote or it's some self-help quote or it's a line from a Taylor Swift song, you know, but it's all about positivity and all this kind of thing. And it was cool, man. They got to my daughter, almost put a tear in my eye. Her quote said, stay beautiful. That was it. And I'm like, that is awesome.
It says it all.
Well, the teacher came up later. She goes, how did that make you feel? I was like, how do you think it made me feel? I was like, that was the best
I welled up.
Freaking feeling
I welled up,
in the
okay?
World. Yeah, man.
How did that make you feel?
Yeah, thanks, like, teacher. Awesome. Yeah.
To check great. In on me.
You should have done the same. Really? Really?
Yeah.
Serious.
Can I get out of this tiny chair now?
I know. Jesus. I really thought you were just knocking that guy down.
I wasn't, man. But after I said it, I realized how it sounded.
Really?
Like,
your dad? Jesus.
For real?
Yeah, I got to work on the phrasing there, man.
Work, hobby, or personal. Who inspired you to do what you do? 206-803.
Phrasing's fine. You say it to me all the time. Tone.
Yeah, you're right, man. Tone. It was all about
right,
tone.
Right, because you could be like, oh, for real? That's awesome. You just went, for real?
My bad.
It seemed like you were just shocked anybody would like their dad.
Right, I know.
Which is funny, because you like your dad.
I do.
It's like, oh, awesome. It's like,
what's going on
damn.
Here? What's going on here?
He's got him in a weird spot.
Hello, Cheyenne. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
So all three of them kind of combined together. When I was growing up, I listened to what was the KSW version of what we have here in South Dakota, and that inspired me to go for the only job where I haven't been treated like crap as a disabled person actually working in radio like y'all do. And after that, as I got closer to the music for a hobby, I picked up the mic and I started singing the Chili Peppers and Seven Dust and Black Sabbath. And that all goes back to Ozzy. So that's just have to say that. And I then started to figure out, you know, how people struggle with mental health because of all that. And that led me to do what I do now, doing the motivational speaking.
Okay.
So that you guys know, paying homage to all of that is one of the reasons I drag myself across the country every now and then to shake hands with y'all.
Oh, well, we appreciate it, man. And waste your time on Jaguar tickets, but that's a different
thing. Is there somebody out there that's going out and talking to people that it's just your personal favorite, that you like listening to, that kind of inspires you?
I mean, honestly, he didn't necessarily speak to people, but Bruce Lee was somebody that made me want to get into it just because of the way he looked at the world. I decided that's what I wanted to do, too.
What was his particular viewpoint, if you could sum it up? Because I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
Basically sharing the beauty. I mean, I'm native, so basically sharing the beauty of his culture with the rest of the world. And also, you know, just teaching people how to be better to themselves and to each other. And that's kind of what I wanted to do.
Awesome. All right. Yeah. Awesome. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, man.
I mean, I'm sure I could make fun of it, but I would sound even worse than I already did.
Yeah.
So I won't.
Okay. But, crazy.
I did not know that about Bruce Lee. Like, to me, Bruce Lee, and I know he was an icon and all that, but to me, he was the guy I saw on Saturday afternoons during Kung Fu Theater, as it were. He was like the main guy. They always had Kung Fu Theater, right? But they would make it a big point. And Kung Fu Theater was real cheap, man. They didn't spend a whole lot of money on this production. But if that Saturday afternoon they were going to feature a Bruce Lee movie, they actually took the time to advertise it all week.
Yeah. So that he was going to be in it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're like, I got to watch this.
I don't think I knew a ton about Bruce Lee, honestly, until I started listening to Wu-Tang Clan.
Right. Well, obviously, they're hugely
obsessed, right? With all the Kung Fu stuff, it was like, oh, all right.
I think I learned more about it just living here.
I definitely learned more.
So let's see here. Ozzy passed away 76 years old. He made 12 solo albums in his lifetime. Ozzy sold over 100 million albums worldwide as a solo artist. He was diagnosed with Parkinson's about 5 years ago. And the statement from the family, he died surrounded by love. It is with more sadness than mere words can convey that we have to report that our beloved Ozzy Osbourne has passed away this morning. He was with family and surrounded by love. We ask everyone to respect our family privacy at this time. That from Sharon, Jack, Kelly, Amy, and Louie.
To put it in perspective, you put out 12 solo albums, and you've sold over 100 million of your solo projects worldwide. That's over 8 million people buy an album every time you put one out. That's actually ridiculous.
Yeah. Work hobby or a personal, who inspired you to do what you do? 206-803-ROCK.